Hello everybody, I'm back with another soul winning video. And in this video, I want to talk about the subject of facing objections or when to move on from the person that you're speaking to. I know that in the previous video at the end, I did say it would be about calling on the name of the Lord, but I want to quickly address this point before moving on to how to basically wrap it up, right? Because not everybody you preach to is going to get saved. Not everybody you preach to is going to receive it in the same way. So we have to be careful with not just, you know, going through it and thinking that they're saved when there's some people who kind of just will be time wasters or argue or whatever, right? So when there are objections, right, or questions that are asked at any point in the gospel, right, that somebody you're preaching to, right, there's something that they throw at you that kind of deviates off from the main point, or maybe they don't understand something. Maybe they have some kind of argument or objection to what you're saying. Be kind to them at first, right? As the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 25, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, right? So the thing is, make sure to be prepared with verses for each of the points that the people bring up, right? Now, don't let the preaching devolve into an argument, right? We shouldn't waste our time with people who are just trying to argue and don't want care what the Bible says. And doesn't matter how many verses you show them, they just want to argue and they want to bring up another point about why you're wrong, right? Don't argue with people. The point is to preach to them. If they don't want to hear it, then move on. And I'll get to that in a second, just different people to move on from. But you also want to be patient with people as well, because not everybody's necessarily trying to argue. Sometimes people are just not understanding, right? Sometimes people are genuine. Sometimes when people raise questions, they're not doing it in a hostile manner. It's just that they genuinely want to know. There's something that's actually getting in the way of them understanding or believing what you're telling them. There's actually like a genuine point that they have. You want to be patient with them and you want to be prepared to address that as well. Now, you also want to be honest when you don't know the answer to a question, right? I've seen people do this before also, that they kind of just make something up, make up an answer. Obviously, don't do that. Don't lie to them. Preaching is serious. Preaching God's word is important. If you don't know the answer to a question, or if it's not relevant to the gospel, right, like this last point here, don't let the conversation be derailed into an irrelevant point. You don't want to waste your time just coming up with some explanation for it, right? If it's something that has nothing to do with what you're telling them, just go back into talking about the gospel, right? So this is what I usually do when somebody brings up a question or objection that's kind of irrelevant. I just say, hey, that's a great question, but let's talk about that afterwards because I want to focus on you getting saved first or something like that, right? Just to bring it back onto the gospel so you don't just start talking about other random things, right? This has happened before where, you know, I'm trying to preach the gospel to somebody and then they start asking questions about the end times or something, right? Now, if it's like something about the resurrection or like the great white throne judgment, something that has something to do with eternal life or hell or salvation, obviously that might be important to address. But if it's just some random thing about like, you know, the Antichrist or something like that, there's not really a point in talking about that when you're trying to get them saved, right? So you want to just kind of say, hey, that's a good point or that's a good question, but let's talk about that later, right? So when to move on. When somebody's a heretic, the Bible says in Titus 3, verse 10, a man that is an heretic after the first and second admonition, reject, right? So after you warn them once, you warn them twice, if you correct them and they don't receive it, they just reject clear scripture, then they should be avoided. The Bible says to avoid that man, right? So if you preach to somebody and they're a heretic, right? They're somebody who argues against the truth, or they're trying to preach back to you lies. Like sometimes you'll go to like a Jehovah's Witness, for example, and they'll try to start preaching to you their false doctrine, right? And then you show them two scriptures that show that they're wrong, right? You say, well, here's what the Bible says. And they say, no, blah, 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 blah. You say, well, actually, no, the Bible says this. No, they don't receive it. The Bible says you've warned them once, you warned them twice, you need to reject that person, right? Now, some people take this verse a little bit too far, Titus 3:10, and they kind of apply it to just anybody who isn't understanding or who's asking questions. A heretic is somebody who knows what the Bible says and they reject it and they believe false doctrine, not somebody who's just ignorant, right? There are people who are ignorant. There are people who are not understanding it. That doesn't mean that they're a heretic, right? So the second one I want to talk about is just somebody who's not getting it, somebody who's just not understanding what you're telling them, right? Sometimes there's people who are just, they're not paying attention, right? Or maybe they're just not very intelligent, right? Maybe they just don't understand these words. Maybe they just, some of the words you're saying are too hard for them. That's the case. You want to be patient with them, obviously. Maybe English might be their second language or third language. Maybe they speak other languages better, so English isn't as good to them. So you're speaking to them in English or whatever other language, and they might not understand it as well. That's a possibility, right? Maybe they're tired. Maybe they're drunk. That's happened before too, right? Maybe they have some sort of brain damage. There's all kinds of reasons why people won't understand it. It's even possible some of the people you preach to is just because of reprobates, right? That's another possibility, right? Because the Bible says that they're ever learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth, right? Now, don't just assume because somebody isn't believing or understanding it that they're a reprobate. All of these reasons that are listed here could be one of the reasons. They're just not paying attention. They have other things on their mind. They're tired, whatever. But again, you should be patient with these people, right? Because some people, like, for example, people who are not very intelligent, it might take longer to be able to get them saved because some of the words that you're saying they might not understand, but they can still get saved. They can still understand it. You know, I've seen examples where, you know, I'm preaching the gospel to somebody and I spend 30, 40 minutes with them and it takes, you know, longer than average because of the fact that they're not understanding a certain point or something and have to use multiple different examples and verses and things like that. But that doesn't mean that they won't get saved. It's just sometimes you just got to be really patient with people. You got to spend more time with people, right? So spend as much time with them as you can until you really can't think of anything else or it becomes clear that they're not paying attention, right? Because if that's the issue, they're not paying attention, if they don't care, then don't waste your time with them. Go to somebody who actually wants to hear the gospel, right? But don't be rude with people. Be patient, be nice, and try your best, right? Try your best to be able to share as much as you can. And try your hardest to get them saved. Now, we don't have unlimited time, of course. So if you have like an allotted time, like maybe you're going soul winning with like your church or something, right? And you only go for an hour, obviously, you know, you don't want to cut past that hour if your other people are waiting on you, but you want to make sure to go as long as possible and either until they get saved or until you run out of time, basically, or until you run out of something else to say, right? Those are the three options I would say. For the non-understander. Now, when to move on for the person who's indecisive, right? That would be the person who will listen to the whole gospel, but they don't get saved, right? They're not sure yet, right? Some people just won't make the decision to believe on Jesus right there, right? And that's sad, but it happens, right? And so the Bible again says our job is to compel them to come in Luke 14, verse 23, right? Now, again, ultimately, it's their decision, right? We should try to push them to make that decision, right? To either believe it or not, but we can't force people to believe in the sense of, you know, it's their choice ultimately, right? We could get them to agree with us or have, say, a verbal agreement or something, but if they don't actually believe in their heart, then they're not saved, right? We're not just trying to get people to agree with us or say that they agree or say that they believe. We actually want to get people to believe, right? So our goal is to actually make or Yeah, make people make a decision basically, right? Either say, hey, you either believe this or you don't, right? You either believe this or you want to think about it, and then you can, you know, look into it more later, right? So one useful verse to show them when they're kind of indecisive or they don't want to do it right now is 2 Corinthians 6:1, where it says, you know, behold, now is the accepted time, now is the day of salvation, right? And that's sometimes something I'll quote to people who are not sure, who don't feel like they want to call on the name of the Lord at the moment. I'll show it to them and I'll say, hey, you know, the Bible says, you know, now is the day of salvation because, you know, you could die tomorrow, right? And that's a good hypothetical to use. You could say, well, you never know when you're going to die. You could die tomorrow. You could die next week, right? If you don't make this decision now, this might be your last chance to get saved, right? And if you die without Christ, you're going to go to hell, right? Now, again, you can say that to them, but ultimately, if they don't believe, they don't believe, right? And that's their own choice. You can't, again, force people to believe. It's their decision, right? You can just simply tell them what the gospel is, right? It's their choice whether they believe it or not, right? So once somebody makes that decision, they say, you know, I'll just think about it and say, okay, have a nice day. Leave them with a card, leave them with another verse, something like that. But don't, you know, again, don't just try to get people to agree with you or tell you that they believe when they really don't. You know what I mean? And then lastly, when to move on, this would be like the time waster, right? So we've talked about heretics. We've talked about people who just don't understand, and, you know, genuine, but they want to understand. And then also people who are indecisive, right? You preach the whole gospel to them, but they don't make a choice just then, right? Now, some people are just time wasters, is what I would call them, right? This is the person who doesn't really care what you have to say, and they're really just there to waste your time, right? This is often found among Mormons, right? Mormons will have set in their heart already that they don't care what the Bible says, and they'll lie to you and say they want to hear what the Bible says, and they'll say they believe the Bible, and you show them a Bible, and they just say, no, I don't believe that. Or they'll pretend like they agree with you, but it's obvious they don't, right? Also, flat earthers, other vain janglers, people who will just try to argue with you about just random stuff that has nothing to do with, you know, anything. People will just start talking about random garbage. This happens sometimes. Sometimes you'll just talk to people who you'll bring up, hey, do you know for sure going to heaven? And they just want to talk about every other thing under the sun, right? The Bible says we're redeeming the time because the days are evil in Ephesians 5:16, right? So the time you spend with somebody who doesn't care or doesn't want to get saved, they just want to argue with you about whatever topic, you could spend that time preaching to somebody who will actually get saved. Right. So if you go to somebody and you say, hey, we're from a Baptist church preaching the gospel, you try to preach the gospel to them and they just start talking about, like, you know, they believe the earth is flat or something like that. And you say, hey, you know, that's another subject. Let's talk about that another time. But they just keep wanting to talk about it, and they just keep bringing it up and they don't care what the Bible says about heaven. Just say, hey, watch the video on that card and move on to the next person, because they don't want to hear the gospel. They just want to talk about other stuff. Right. So they're really just wasting your time, because soul winning is for soul winning. It's not for just talking about every other stupid thing that's out there, right? And debunking every other false doctrine that exists about everything, right? We want to talk about the gospel and about Jesus, right? So that's it for this video. Thank you, everybody, for watching, and goodbye.